Praise God. I don't know where to start. I got to be honest. I don't know where to start, but the Holy Ghost told me this morning. He says, "Go with me and I'll show you how to roll it out." So, he's got a message for us, but I was waiting on him to hear how he wants to roll it out. Okay, in other words, bring it to you. Okay? So I'd like to welcome you, and also I just realized something. Don't you know, did you hear what Pastor Ed shared with us in his comments? He talked about this ministry, the technology that's becoming in place. And what is it going to do? It's going to make things easier. So I'm always in favor of technology. So I'm not one of those guys that's a stick in the mud about, oh, I don't like that. No, I'm all in favor for iPods. I'm all in favor for all of these things. And the next thing that's going to happen in this ministry, I haven't even talked with him about it, is that it's going to be live streaming of this service. Because people are watching us around the world. So let's welcome the people that are going to be watching this stream. Let's welcome them. Amen. We welcome you to our service. Those of you who are watching us from around the world and have access to this, we welcome you. My name is Deacon William Floyd. I'm a deacon with the ministry here of RLCC. And we are honored to have you with us this morning. We don't start any... See, we're going to have to start doing that. We're going to have to start thinking globally. You got that? And I guarantee you, when I'm through with this lesson, and today and Wednesday, you're going to get a deeper appreciation of that. We don't start any lesson here without reading John 3:16. So let's turn in our Bibles, because that was the direction of the Holy Ghost, right? Let's turn in our Bibles. And let's read John, the third chapter, beginning at verse 16. Amen. How many of you excited? I am too. Amen. Are you there? I'm reading from the King James Version. If you have another version, please read along with us. Ready? Let's read. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, isn't that good to know? Isn't it good to know that God loves this world? He loves it so much that he did what? He gave. But what did he give? His only begotten Son. So in other words, we can say this. God so loved this world that he gave his best. And his best is who? Jesus. Amen? But now there's a condition. Whosoever does what? Believeth in him, what's going to happen? Should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And there it is in a nutshell. Amen? Now, what I like for you to do, because I always do this when I teach, and the Holy Ghost has instructed me to do this, and with Denise's message, it ties in with this. I always have a confession. I like the congregation to lead me in, okay? Or I lead the congregation in the confession. So say this with me. Say, I stay steady during these unstable times. Regardless of what comes my way, God's way is my way. Every day, I renew my mind to the Word of God. I walk in love. I stay in faith. I am a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer. In every and all situations, I respond in love and faith. When the issues of life come against me, I am not afraid. My heart is fixed. I trust in the Lord. My heart is established in God's holy word. I take the time to examine myself according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 to 32. And I am quick to repent of anything that I find out of order in my life. Okay. I know that the best days... No, hold on. Backtrack. I always say this, but whenever I read it, it's a little bit different. Say this. Now unto you, Heavenly Father, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to your word, no, according to your power that's at work in my life, I know that the best days of my life are ahead with you, Heavenly Father. Everything that you have promised me, you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Now let me ask you this question. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you receive it?
Yes.
Then it's yours. Amen?
Yes.
Now what I'm going to do is, last time that I was with you, I was with you on a Wednesday night, and I talked about what? I said, who was a minister, right?
Yes.
Now who's a minister? Okay, the ones that were here Wednesday night know, right? We found out that who is a minister? We are ministers. According to the word of God, we, in 2 Corinthians, it says we are ministers of reconciliation. The Bible also tells us that God has made us able ministers. We also found out that another meaning for the word minister was what? Servant. Right? So in other words, we found out in the scriptures, it said that the servant of the Lord must not be given to strife, but maybe what? Gentle and apt to teach, right? So if you want to know more about that lesson, you can go to the Faith Food Bookstore or you can download it on our website and you'll hear more about that message. Amen? But what I like to do before I get into the message, I want to share with you a vision that the Lord gave me. Okay? Several months ago while I was in prayer, the Lord gave me a vision as I was, and I know, that's why I know I'm still a young man, because it says in Joel that young men shall see visions, right? So I know I'm still young. But anyway, in this vision, I want you to see this. It just came across as I was watching this. Really, it wasn't an open vision. It was a vision in my spirit. I saw this in my spirit, but it was a vision in my spirit. What I saw was something that looked like a big, I called it a tapestry. It was a big tapestry, some kind of thing. And what was interesting about this tapestry was that it had fibers. I saw all the fibers, and all of the fibers in this tapestry were beautiful colors. I mean, I've never seen these colors before. You've seen red. I've seen, but it was a beautiful red. I saw a blue. I saw colors I can't even explain. But they were all on this tapestry. But the thing that was holding these fibers together was a brilliant, bright scarlet thread. Now this tapestry was almost completed. It had about, if I was to look at it this way, it had about maybe just an inch or so to go. And what the Holy Ghost was showing me was that those fibers represent every person who's going on, who's here, and who's to come in the body of Christ. That's why they all look different, but they look beautiful. But each one of those fibers were joined together by that scarlet thread. And that scarlet thread was the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that tapestry that I told you about is what he told me that represents the church. It's almost finished. That tapestry was almost finished. But then he showed me there were two words on that tapestry. On one side of the tapestry, in gold, it was in bold gold, it was the words glorious. And on the other side was in gold, the word victorious. So church, I'm here to tell you that when Jesus Christ comes, because he's coming soon, he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle, but he's coming for a church that's glorious and victorious. Say that with me. Say glorious,
glorious
and victorious.
Victorious.
That is what Jesus is coming for. He's coming back. And like I said, I saw it in that tapestry. It's almost done. It's just about finished, but he's coming back for a church that is glorious and victorious. Amen? Now, here's something else I want you to understand. God always saves the best for last. You got that? That's why this is referred to, what, the end times. So you know what? The end times is not the bad times. These are the best times. Are you following me with this? See, Jesus is referred to in the Bible as who? The last Adam. Isn't he better than the first Adam?
Yes.
Right? What had happened in that first miracle that Jesus did in Cana when they changed the water to wine? What did the governor of the feast said?
Yes.
You saved what? The best for last. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that you and I are here because God has reserved this time for us. And he saved the best for last. You got that? So in other words, if we were in the time of the apostles, Peter, John, and James, they ain't got nothing on us. You follow me? Because God always saves the best for last. Turn to your neighbor and say, he saved you because you're the best. Amen. And you're the last. Now, in my family, I'm the youngest of 10 children. So God saved the best for last. Right, Dolores? Dolores is the last in her family. So God saves the best for last. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know you enjoy that one. Okay? So now listen to this. The church is about to enter. The church, the body of Christ, we are about to enter into our finest hour. This is our finest hour. If you notice what's going on around the world doesn't have the solution. The world, the systems of the world are crumbling. You follow what I'm saying? So therefore, God has saved each and every one of you. He reserved each and every one of us for a time such as this. Amen? So I want you to gain a sense of purpose, a sense that we're here for a reason. This church, and like I said, I didn't talk to the pastors, and they didn't talk with me, but the Holy Ghost is talking. The Holy Ghost told me to share this message that I'm sharing with you today, October, what, 21st? He gave me this in January of this year. And I didn't know how it was going to fit. But see, one thing I've learned, though, I've learned if God tells you to go outside and march around a big building 7 times and shut your mouth, you do what he tells you to do. Right? You just do what he... So I didn't know how God was setting this all up. But he gave me a message for this congregation because he loves you and I love you. But the message he gave was evangelism. Now, in January, he told me, he said, when you stand in Nanuet to share, he said, you're going to speak on evangelism. Now, the Wednesday night I shared, he said, no, not then. He said, that, who's a minister? So this morning, what we're going to look at, we're going to look at the subject of evangelism. But what we're going to look at it is from the point of view, I want you to, because I know everybody's mind is clicking, because when you hear the word evangelism, everybody has their own preconceived ideas on it. Okay? So the title of this message we're going to share, I'm going to start this morning and we're going to end on Wednesday night. We're going to talk about evangelism, taking the church outside the four walls. You got that? Now, before we get to that, I know everybody's excited, right? How many of you are excited about that? Okay. Now, what I want to do is I want to define some things. See, because what happens is if I can define what we're talking about, then we're all on the same page. Okay? So the first word I want us to look at, if you're taking notes, write down the word church. Okay? Now that word church in the Greek is the word ekklesia. Okay? Ekklesia, right? Now if we break that down, I'm not getting technical with you, but I just got to lay this out this way. So that way we understand where we're going, right? Ek, E-C, means out ones. Ek in the Greek, it means out, out from. Out from, okay? Klesia means assembly, right? Now, we put that word together, and we call ecclesia what? The called out ones. You got that? So when we see church, we're not talking about a building. You got me? You follow me? This is a beautiful facility we have here, but this is not church. This is not the church. This is a facility. Now, look across at your neighbors. Look back and forth. That's the church. So in other words, now here's what I want to do. Now that we got that defined. So we don't get up in the morning to go to church. You follow what I'm saying? I don't go somewhere and say, "Woo, we had church." No, we are church. So when we come together, what are we doing? We're assembling. That's what it says in Hebrews, does it not? Forsaking not what? The assembling of yourselves. Okay, you got it? So in other words, we don't come to have church. So that's the first thing I want to eliminate from your mindset. See, because some people think, oh, I don't want to go to church. I'm tired, or it's late, or I had a rough week. I don't want to go to church. But the truth of the matter is, you are church. But now, an assembly, called out ones, called to an assembly, right? Turn your Bibles to John's Gospel. John chapter 10. Listen to what Jesus had to say. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we're going to begin at verse 14, and we're going to read verses 14 and 16. And I'd like for you to read with me, amen? Now, who's speaking here? Jesus, right? Now, let's look and see what he has to say. He says, I am the good shepherd, and what? Know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father have known me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for who? For the sheep. And look at what he says, verse 16, very interesting. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall do what? Hear my voice, and there shall be what? One fold and one shepherd. Now what Jesus was saying here was, he's the good shepherd, right? Now, the sheep he was referring to was Israel, right? Because that's what he came to. But now he says, but there are other sheep, and he's calling them. So the called out ones, the ecclesia, the church, we're the sheep. Amen. Everyone got that? Now, look down to verse 27, the same chapter, verse 27. Jesus says what? My sheep do what? Hear my voice, and I know them, and they do what? And they follow me. Now, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And Denise did an excellent job this morning in church school. She touched on this. And I thank you, Denise. You kind of like set this up. Or the Holy Ghost used you to set this up. Or set the tone. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Look at what the Apostle Peter says. He says, but ye are what? A chosen generation. What else? A royal priesthood, and what? A holy nation. What else? A peculiar people, that you should show forth what? The praises of him who called you out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. So in other words, church, assembled ones, right? We are a royal priesthood. So you know what a priesthood's supposed to be doing? Involved in prayer. Amen? We're a holy nation. You got that? We're also a peculiar people. Now, here's something I want you to look at. Here's something very important. Remember I talked about the church and assembling? What we're going to find out, we're not going to touch on it now, but I want you to make a mental note for yourself about the importance of assembling and meetings. So in other words, we go to meetings. So in this church, we agree to meet on Sunday morning at 9, 10:30. Wednesday night, we agree to meet at 7:30. Friday, we agree to meet at 7:30 for prayer. And then in November, we agree to meet Sunday night for evangelistic services. So we're coming to what? Meetings. We're not going to church, right? Now, here's another thing we need to understand. The Bible. Okay? Now, the Bible that you have in your hand, that Bible is God's love letter to everyone. But you got to remember this, though. It's a love letter to everyone, but there's different letters for different people. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because, see, when we're talking about evangelism, and we're talking about, and we're going to get more into that, you're going to have to understand who you're talking to. Okay? Now, look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. Are you there? Okay, let's read. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So in other words, according to the Bible, there's three types of people, right? And who are they? The Jew, the Gentile, and who? The church. Now, we know who the Jews are, right? The Gentile is everybody that's not a Jew. Okay? And the third one is who? The church, the called out ones, which can comprise of both Jew and Gentile. Everyone got that? So in other words, we see in the Old Testament is primarily addressed to who? The Jews, aside from other things that's in there, primarily. Now, when we look at the Gospels, and that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're addressed to who? The Gentiles. Okay? You follow me? Now, when we look at the book of Acts and the epistles, who are they addressed to? The church. See, what's happened is we can't go out and give the wrong message to the wrong people. It's like me delivering a letter, like Fred. I got a letter for Fred, right? But I'm not going to give it to Fred. I'm going to give it to James. But the name is Brother Fred. What are you going to do with that letter? No, but you know it's not for you, right? So it's not for him. So you got to make sure you're giving the letter to the right person. Everyone got that? So in other words, that's another thing we need to understand about the Bible, okay? Now here's another word we need to understand. I know this sounds very basic. You say, man, why is he so basic? Because we're launching off on a platform here. And I want to make sure we're all on the same page. The word gospel. Okay? Now, that word gospel in the Greek is the word evangelion. The meaning of that word is good news or good tidings of the kingdom. Got that? So when we're talking about the gospel, what are we talking about? Good news and the tiding and the good tidings of what? Of the kingdom of God. So in other words, we're not talking about bad news. So standing on a corner with a sign up or with a microphone telling people they're going to hell is not preaching the gospel. Does everyone understand that? Does that make sense? I mean, how many of you ever seen that movie, The Wiz? Remember that, The Witch? What was the song she sung? Don't nobody bring me no bad news. I mean, she had sense enough to know she didn't want to hear no bad news, right? So the world don't need to hear any more bad news. Because if they want to hear bad news, they can turn on CNN. They can turn on all those channels. And they can turn on 1010 on the radio. And you give him your ear, he'll give you bad news in, what, 20 minutes? 20 minutes or less, right? So in other words, we realize that the gospel is what? The good news and the good tidings of what? Of the kingdom of God. Now, keep that in mind, okay? Now, the word gospel and the verb meaning of that word is the word evangelizo. That means to bring or announce glad tidings, to evangelize or proclaim, to declare and to preach the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, especially the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about that, we think about the ministry office of whom? The evangelist, right? So in other words, the evangelist is the one that we recognize that is to share that, right? The message of the gospel, right? Now, here's one thing I want you to note. When we're looking at the gospel, right? When we're proclaiming the good news, there are two components. There should be two components that should be in that message. Everyone got that? I know I'm sounding very technical, but I want you to understand this because we overlook this. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. Okay? Now, here are the two components. While you're turning there, I'm going to tell you what they are. And they're very simple. Very simple. The first one is repent. The second component of the gospel is believe. Now, I know some of you hearing this and some people listening on the website saying, oh, man, that sounds antiquated. That's outdated. No, it's not. That's the message of the gospel. Repent and believe. Now, let's do a breakdown here. We have to break down that word repent. What does repent really mean? Turn away? Turn away, right? Okay, turn away. But here's what it means. You're absolutely right. But what it means is this, in essence. It means to turn away from yourself in your direction and turn towards God's. So that's when we're talking about evangelism. We're sharing the good news, right? But we want people to understand the way you're going in is wrong. That's a wrong direction. But the direction you need to come in is in the direction of who? God. Amen? Now, here's another thing. Believe. What are they supposed to do? Believe what? The message of the gospel. You got that? Is everyone in Mark? Okay, Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 14 and 15. Let's read verse 14 and 15 together. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching what? Hold on. What was Jesus preaching? The kingdom of God. Now, keep that in mind, underline that, because here's what's happened in churches. And I mean, I'm not saying this, because it's the body. We're all a family. So even churches that are not physically here with us, we're all the body. Okay, you got that? And Pastor Greg's teaching us, and we're learning through the Holy Ghost, unity in the body, right? So I'm not talking against something. I'm talking about why you're having the problem that you're having. Everyone follow me? The church has been very good in preaching the gospel about getting people saved. And then we left them there. You follow? So we got saved people that are not in victory. We got saved people who love the Lord dying before their time. You follow me? We got saved people living defeated lives. Now, it has nothing to do with their salvation. They're saved. But Jesus came preaching what? The message of the gospel, the good news of what? The kingdom of God. See, we failed to share with people the message of the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, let's keep on going here. Verse 15. Listen to what Jesus said. Now, if you think I'm outdated, right? Because, oh, that's old fogey stuff. Look at what Jesus said in verse 15. Read it. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and what? Believe the gospel. There it is. See the two components. Change the way you're doing things. Right? And believe the gospel. Believe the good news. The message of the kingdom. That's why there is no such animal on the face of the earth of a person. You show me a person that has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And, you know, you walk away from them for a year or so or come back and they're still doing the same thing. There's something wrong with that animal.
Oh, yes.
Something's wrong there. Okay? You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
So keep that in mind. The gospel is the message of the kingdom of God, right? Jesus came preaching it, right? Now, let me read that in the Amplified. Verse 15. And saying, this is Jesus, the appointed period of time is fulfilled and completed. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Have a change of mind which issues in regret for past sins and in change of conduct for better, and believe, trust in, rely on, and adhere to the good news of the gospel. Everyone got that? So that's what we need to understand. Jesus came saying that, right? But now let's look at Jesus, because I want us to see, we're going to use him as our example. Turn to Luke's gospel, chapter 4. Okay? Luke's gospel, chapter 4. Because we're talking about evangelism and we're talking about taking the church outside the four walls. Amen? The message of the gospel is the message of the kingdom of God. Amen? Keep that in mind. Say that with me. Say, the message of the gospel is the message of the kingdom of God. Now let's see it play itself out here. Are you at Luke chapter 4? Are you at verse 18? I'll take a sip of water while you getting there. Amen. Is everyone there now? Okay, let's read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hold it right there. So in other words, that was the message of the kingdom of God. So what did Jesus say? The Spirit of what? Of the Lord is where? Upon him. Why? Because God did what? Anoint him to do what? To preach what? The gospel to who? To the poor. So you know what's the message to the poor? What's good news for the poor? A job subsidy from Washington? A Republican president? A Democratic president? A Republican Congress? A Democratic Congress? What? The kingdom of God. But what is he telling the poor? You don't need to be poor anymore. What is he telling the brokenhearted? You can be healed. Amen. Now follow this. Jesus said what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel, The message of the gospel. Let's keep on going, okay? Where are we at? Okay, verse 20. And he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. And all eyes were on him in the synagogue that were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, you know what shocked them? Jesus always went to that synagogue. So it was a regular service. It was a Sabbath day. He came on a Sabbath and he came into that service. And what happened, that synagogue, and they handed him the scroll. And when he opened it, he read what they was already there. But then he said something that they never heard before. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that the world has heard a lot about God. The world has heard a lot about how much Jesus loves you. The world's heard a whole lot of that. But what the world needs to see is a demonstration of the kingdom of God on their behalf. Everyone got that? That's the message of the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Okay, now let's keep on going. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I want to stay on point with this. Because I want you to see this. Now, as we look at Jesus in the gospels, he did three things. Okay? Jesus did these three things. He preached. He taught. And he ministered, right? Would you agree with me?
Yes.
Now, let's look at it this way. When we're evangelizing, when we're going out spreading the good news, demonstrating the message of the kingdom of God, three things should be happening. We should be preaching. Preaching is merely proclaiming, right? Teaching is merely explaining. Ministering is demonstrating. You got that? Jesus did those things. So in other words, that's the message of the kingdom of God. Now, while he had his 12 disciples, they traveled with him for 3.5 years, right? And Jesus's mission, we know, was to go to the cross, right? But in all of that, he was continuously teaching them about the kingdom of God. Because they were approaching things from their point of view, right? But Jesus was trying to show them God's point of view. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. Man, I'm not even done here. Boy, time flies. Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning at verse 18. Okay? I'm going to move this along a little bit quicker because I'm looking at the time there. Beginning at verse 18, Jesus says this, and Jesus came. This is after he went to the cross, he was buried and resurrected, right? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now he's telling his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, right? Now, in Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, let's not turn there because of for time's sake, but I'm just going to merely outline that to you. Jesus is telling these same disciples, he's saying, these signs shall accompany you because you do what? Believe, right? In my name, you're going to cast out devils. In my name, you're going to speak with new tongues. And if you take up any serpents or drink any deadly thing, it's not going to hurt you, right? You're going to lay hands on the sick, and what's going to happen? And they're going to recover, right? So then after this, the Lord spoken to them, he was received up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. But now something happened between verse 19 and 18. Now in Luke's gospel, turn to Luke chapter 24, turn there. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. And this is Jesus speaking once again. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm sorry. To all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem, there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Hear that word? Repent. You are witnesses of these things. And then he says, verse 49, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as the Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Now that's what they had to do. They had to wait. You got it? The church of the living God today, we don't have to wait. The power is here and available. Amen? But they had to wait, right? Now, then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he left them and was taken up in heaven. So they worshiped him and then returned to Jerusalem, filled with great joy, and they spent all their time in the temple praising God. Right? Now, they had to spend all their time in the temple praising God because they were waiting for what? The promise from on high. You got that? Now, turn to the book of Acts. Okay? Book of Acts. So that way you don't think I'm making this all up. Amen? Book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to read this, so you follow along with me to King James. He says, "The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and what? And teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through who? The Holy Ghost, has given them what? Commandments unto his apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen of them how long? 40 days, right? And speaking of what? What was Jesus speaking about? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So in other words, Jesus was speaking the gospel, right? We can say that. And being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which hath he, ye have heard of me, right? Now, we're in Acts chapter 1. Go down to verse 8. Now, Jesus says something to his disciples, because they were asking him questions, right? But look at what he says in verse 8. Let's read it. "But ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, he's telling them to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with what? Power from on high. Now, here's something we need to understand, church. We can't do anything apart from the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, on the day of Pentecost, we understand that the 120 were in that upper room, right? And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues, right? But then something interesting happened. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 38. We're going to read verse 38 and 44. From verse 38 to 44, the second chapter. Because I want you to see a progression here, okay? They were told to wait. They received the power. Once the church received the power, were they still in the temple? Where were they? Out in the streets. And what were they doing? Watch. Hold on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Verse 38. Is everyone there? "Then Peter said unto them," what? What? So in other words, change your course, right? "Repent," and what else? "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." For what? "For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive" what? "The gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." You hear that? Keep on going. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward," in other words, perverse generation. Verse 41. "Then they had gladly received" what? "His word, and was baptized. And the same day there were added unto them" how many? 3,000 souls. So it was 120 in the upper room, right? Now, where's my math majors? Wave your hand, my math majors. There's no math majors in here? Who can add? Wave your hand. Okay, good. They ain't got no math majors here today. We got some engineers here, right? Okay, good. 120 plus 3,000 makes how many? 3,120 in just a matter of a few moments. You got that? Now, follow this. This is fascinating. Here we see the birth of the church. On the day of Pentecost was the day in which the church was born. Remember the last Adam? God formed him by the dust, and it was there. And the Bible says what? God breathed into him, and he became what? a living soul. But the last Adam became a quickening spirit, right? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came and breathed into those 120. And now they became a living, quickening spirit being. And in a matter of a few moments, 3,000 were added to the church. Now, I like to say this to you because this is so important. I remember Pastor Marlene Lewis, who was one of my mentors. She shared this many years ago, and I wrote it down. Never forgot it. When we're talking about the definition of evangelism, listen to this definition. Preaching and teaching the word of God in the power of the Holy Ghost and leaving the results with him. Let me say that again. Evangelism. Preaching and teaching the word of God in the power of the Holy Ghost and leaving the results with him. As I said to you earlier, this world needs to see a demonstration of the power of God. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. A familiar passage to many of us. Okay? We're talking about evangelism, taking the church outside of the four walls. Is everyone there? Let's read what the Apostle Paul had to say. Let's read. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let me read that in the message. I like the message. It says it this way. It's news I'm most proud to proclaim. This extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts him, starting with Jews and then right on to everyone else. God's way of putting people right God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming what Scripture has said all along. The person in right standing before God by trusting him really lives. Let me say that one more time. The person in right standing before God by trusting in him really lives. Now, what does it say in Daniel? You don't have to turn it, but in Daniel, the 11th chapter, the 32nd verse, the latter part of that verse, Daniel said this. He said, but the people that do what? Know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, here's the key. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the message of the kingdom of God, because it's what? The power of God unto salvation. Now, there's a known evangelist. His name is Arthur Blessed. How many of you ever heard of Arthur Blessed? Okay. He travels around. I think it's a 12-foot cross. He carries around a big cross. How big is it? About 12 foot. It's a pretty big cross. And what he does is his mission that he was given to him by God was to go all around the world with this cross, and God would tell him where to stop. He prop up that cross and preach Jesus Christ, because everybody's wondering, what's this guy doing with a cross, right? Yes, yes. So that's how he would minister the good news of the gospel. Now, there was something he said. I heard him on a Christian television show last week, and it shocked me. He said when he traveled all over the world, and, you know, when he got to a hotel, they're not going to let him put the cross, it's a big 12-foot thing, in the hotel rooms. So he would ask the churches, like, can he let the cross stay here? Only 40% of the churches allowed him to have the cross in his place. He said, but then when he went to places where there were no churches, and there were only bars and saloons, every single one of them accepted the cross in there. Now, there's something wrong with that. There is something seriously wrong with that. When a bar, the guy can say, oh, yeah, sure, bring it in here. But churches, no, no, no. See, so here's the key. The power of God is in the cross. Okay? Paul said it this way in Corinthians. He says, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, but I came with a demonstration of the Spirit of God so that your faith would not rest in man, but in what? The power of God. Hallelujah. Church, I'm here to tell you, we are the anointed ones. How many of you call yourselves Christians? Okay, don't you know that word Christian really means little Christ? Do you know what Christ really means, anointed one? So you and I are little Christ. We have this message, the message of the gospel, which is the good news. Now let me keep on moving along with this, okay? Now, here's something we need to understand, okay? Let me pass that right now, because I don't want to get into that. We are representatives. Remember I said it earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20? We are what? Ambassadors. Turn there. I want you to see this. Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me get it in my Bible here too. It's not in my notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Because I want you to see, this is so important. Okay, 2 Corinthians, I'm there. Are you there?
Yes.
Read it with me. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now here's something interesting about an ambassador. When I was in the Bahamas, we went several years ago on a cruise. We stopped in Nassau, Bahamas. How many of you have been there, right? Okay, you know, and it was an excursion, and we're riding through the countryside, and, you know, you're looking at the houses, there's huts, and there's grass, and, you know, and some of the grass is a little dry. I guess they didn't have rain. So as we're driving by, all of a sudden, this one house stood out. It was fenced in, bright white, green lawn, and as we're passing by, the tour guide said, oh, yeah, by the way, that's the U.S. Embassy. That's where the U.S. Ambassador lives. Now, why am I saying that to you? That ambassador, if you notice, everything that was in that compound was supported and sustained by who? By the United States. So that's why the other people weren't being supported by the United States. So you saw what you saw. But inside that place was who lived there? The ambassador. So in other words, everything that the ambassador needed to exist, did it come from outside?
No.
It came from where? It came from his source. So if we are ambassadors for Christ, then where should our source and supply come from? From heaven. You got that? Our source and supply comes from heaven. So it makes no difference where you live. You can live in a rundown place. You can live in an apartment complex that's run down. But I guarantee you this, because you're an ambassador for Christ, your apartment won't look like those other ones. I guarantee you.
Hallelujah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And remember this, your job, the job you have right now, the one you got to go to tomorrow morning, that's not your source and supply. That's your assignment.
Amen.
You got that?
Yes.
Because I got news for you. Your assignment can change. But your source never will. And who's our source? God. Because why? We are ambassadors for Christ. You got that? Everyone follow me on that? That's so important. We are representatives of the kingdom of God. So therefore, the effects that are happening around the world shouldn't be affecting us. Because we come from another place. And if you were to look in the realm of the spirit, you can see people that are in darkness. There's darkness all around them. But if we shine a light on you, it's bright. It's the glory of God. Because we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. Now let me move along in this message because I know I'm building to a certain area here. But I want you to see that this is so important. We have to come to this place that we understand that we are called out ones. We are not of this world. The things that are subject to this world are not to subject, we're not to be subject to. Now, I saw a movie a while ago. It's a movie called The Truman Show. Okay, how many of you seen that movie, The Truman Show? Okay, I know some of you don't want to raise your hand. You don't go to the movies. Well, anyway, in this movie, there's this guy named Truman, right?
Yes.
Now, he lives in a perfect place. He's got a perfect job. He lives in a perfect house. Everything is perfect, right? But one day what happened, I think he was out sailing somewhere, and what happened was he's out in the ocean and he hit a wall. Out in the ocean, he hit a wall. Now what happened was this, he didn't know this, but what was happening was his perfect world was formed by people. They manipulated him and set up a scenario where they were controlling behind the scenes to him, right? But now he happened to hit this wall. So the way they got him to get out of trying to figure out what's going on here, it appeared like he almost drowned, right? So what happened was, in order for him not to understand that there was boundaries in his world, they had to introduce fear. Okay? So in other words, fear became a boundary in his world. You got that? Now I'm here to tell you this morning, right, that each and every one of us in our lives, before we came to Christ, the enemy has thrown fear and situations in your life that made boundaries. And now those boundaries have you bound. Right now you're hearing this message about, oh, I don't want to go out in the street. I don't want to go talk to people. Listen. David said this in Psalm 34, verse 4. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears.
Yes.
So I'm here to tell you this morning is this. In order for us to go further, there are some boundaries. This is what the Holy Ghost told me to tell you this morning. There have been some boundaries placed in your life. Some of you are afraid of cats and dogs. Don't laugh. Some of you are afraid to swim in water. Some of you are afraid to drive. Some of you are afraid to fly in an airplane. Some of you are afraid of getting into another relationship. Because see, what happened is this. The enemy has set those boundaries of fear in your life. But I'm here to tell you this morning is that we're going to have to do what David did. He sought the Lord and he called out to him. And God did what? Deliver him from all his fears. What did Jesus tell Jairus when he was going to go and heal his daughter? And when the people came and said, Master, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter's dead. What did Jesus say? He said, fear not, only believe. What did God tell Joshua after Moses died? He said, fear not. Didn't he tell him that? What did Paul tell Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. What did he say? God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Now, there are some people here this morning, and I want you to just listen to this. And check your heart on this. There have been things that God has been speaking to you to do, but you haven't done them because you thought you weren't good enough. Or you thought, I can't do that. But see, that was really the enemy putting boundaries, setting up boundaries in your life to stop you from being all that God wants you to be. See, some of you this morning, God wants to give you and bless you with a car, but you're afraid to drive. God wants to take you to great places, but you're afraid to fly in a plane. God wants you to enjoy a cruise, but you're afraid of the water. So this morning, if you're here, this floor, this whole area here, this is an altar. Now, I know in the Old Testament, the altar was a place they built, and God met them there. The altar for us is in our hearts. But the Holy Ghost told me to tell you this morning that you're going to have to step over that line. David said it. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. You come down here right now. If you have some areas in your life, and you know it, that there were areas of fear or things that you always wondered about. You didn't know that it was fear and it was placed there by the enemy. If that's you, come down on this floor right now. And as you come down here, the Lord is going to deliver you. Nobody's going to lay hands on you. Nobody's going to lay hands on you, but the Lord is going to deliver you. Because you're going to seek the Lord and he's going to hear you and he's going to deliver you from all your fears. Some of you, your fear is that job. Some of you are holding on to a job because you're saying to yourself, if I lose that job, what am I going to do? That's fear. Here's what you got to remember, church. The devil can't stop you, but he can contain you if you let him. He can't stop you. The devil cannot stop us, but he can contain you if you let him.